picture, all right?
We
imagine that you're on a plane from London to Washington, all right? And you finish your drink and your, you know, salted nuts, and you maybe even have the meal, and you don't like the movie, and you're kicking back and waiting for the flight to be over. And someone comes on the PA system and says they're diverting the plane to Maine because Cat Stevens is on the plane. they couldn't possibly fly it anywhere near Washington because Cat Stevens is on the plane, and he might, you know, barge through security and start singing Light Rock to one of the senators or something. As a matter of fact, we've actually padlocked WRCH until we can sort of get a sense of how big a problem there is over there. We've got police tape up around WRCH, which is, WRCH is across the hall from us, Light 100.5. And so we've sealed it off. We feel there's a Light Rock biohazard over there. Until we know how much Cat Stevens we're dealing with, we're asking... well, first of all, we're asking Mike Allen not to fly anywhere near the building.
Yeah.
So anyway, it turns out this is what Homeland Security is for, is to keep us safe from Cat Stevens. I just, you know...
You couldn't even make that up.
I know. But can you imagine the passengers? They're in Bangor. That's where they are right now. This is like a bunch of people who are, like, you know, coming back from London to Washington, D.C. No. They're in Bangor.
Well, now it's just Bangor has its charm.
I'm sure Bangor's great. It's probably not where they want to be. And the reason... But then when you're told the reason you're in Bangor is because Cat Stevens was on the plane. Well, I mean, at that point, they'll be like, oh, well... In that case, it was clearly a threat to national security.
Yeah.
We understand. No problem whatsoever. You know.
Like I said, you couldn't make it up.
The initial reports were that it was Graham Nash, which was even more alarming. But as it turns out, it was only Cat Stevens. And, you know, I mean, on a semi-serious note, it's not clear to me what Cat Stevens has done to warrant this kind of attention. I mean, apparently he may have ties, he may have associations with potential terrorists. So, think about that. He may have
associations
with potential terrorists. So, that's good enough for me. I would certainly divert a flight based on that. We have many things to talk about today, and we also have some guests that we know you'll enjoy. One of them is Patty McQueen, political consultant, who's going to give us her assessment of where the Kerry Bush campaign is right now. And then joining us a little bit later is Susan.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
Thank you for clearing that up. Is he any relation, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think I'd say... If you were, do you think I'd admit that right now?
You refer to yourself as Bruce Islam, so I was just wondering.
I mean, the door could be kicked into the studio. I could be dragged out of here.
They're actually already questioning Joe Hahn out in the parking lot right now.
They got him down to his shorts and,
It turns out he's played Wild World 3 times in the last month, and so they want to know what that's all about.
Yeah.
Anyway, our numbers, if you know anything about any other light rock personalities, that should come out right now. 522-WTIC, 1-800, let's bring it all out, all right? 1-800-966-WTIC, or *WTIC.
Here's Bill in Newington, Bill.
Hey, Bruce and Goff, how are you guys today?
Good.
Great.
That's a great day. Well, anyway, I think, well, I guess my scenario was like, if you guys were going to go out for donuts and there were 2 donut shops together and you know, they said the margin guy was...
Are you like talking from like a Burger King drive-in window or something? I feel like I just ordered, do you have like a kind of a murky connection somehow?
Let's try to them in Newington, you know. I'll call back on a hard line.
I'll call back on a hard line. Because right now it's like I'm going to order a Whopper for a calling or something.
It's going to be calling back on a hard line.
Okay. I just couldn't see. I couldn't.
All right. We have James here.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Come flying to the defense. Just flying to the defense of these people.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
We now consider Light 100.5, our nearest station, to be a station of interest, if you know what I mean.
Right.
We have them on our watch list, and believe me, Dean Richards, we're watching his every move from now on.
I would.
Yeah. It's just not safe over there. Our numbers are 522. Well, let me just mention this Jimmy Swaggart thing.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy Swaggart has now... I can't find it. Do you have it over there?
Yep.
Okay. You read it.
Okay.
You read it.
Jimmy Swaggart has apologized for saying in a televised worship service that he would kill any gay man who looked at him romantically.
I just want you to, first of all, think about the kind of televised worship service where you announce who you would kill. And then, and then they're worried about people who are Muslims because they might be dangerous. But Jimmy Swaggart's having Christian worship services where he discusses who you might kill. Anyway, he has apologized for this, and he's even admitted that if Freddie Prinze Jr. came crawling in on his hands and knees, he, Jimmy Swaggart, would want to undress Freddie Prinze Jr.
Here is
all right, well, perhaps he hasn't actually said that.
In a car. All right. Hello.
There are subjects, anyway.
Hello, all right.
Art. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think I remember a few years back that there was, I don't remember the guy's name. He wrote a book about the Al-Qaeda and the people of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And this was right before Chad Stevens moved back over there to go back to Islam. And he had made a statement, I'm pretty sure, that if he found that guy, he would kill him because they put a contract on his head for writing that book.
No, no, that's not who you're thinking of.
I think it's Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie.
The most alarming thing is Art is actually Northeastern director of the FBI. He's the guy actually who made the decision to divert the plane. And basically what he was saying, basically called the White House. He said, I can't remember the name of the guy. There was a book a couple of years ago. But Cat Stevens didn't declare a fatwa on Salman Rushdie. Now, Cat Stevens might have said that he was okay with the fatwa on Salman Rushdie.
Maybe.
That could be. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But I'm not suggesting that Cat Stevens is any saint. As a matter of fact, I think he is probably a killing machine. My question is, why are we stopping with Cat Stevens? You know?
Right. There's so much more there that could be done.
Yeah. I mean, certainly purveyors of other annoying music should be looked into.
The college football season is here.
Reported. Joining us now
is... see the smiles when you hear, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bangor.
That's the thing, though. He did pick up some maple syrup to bring home with him at the duty-free shop in Bangor, so... the trip's not a total loss, anyway.
You can just see the smiles, the abundant smiles aboard that airplane.
Yeah.
Welcome to Bangor.
There's going to be a slight delay here, ladies and gentlemen, because Cat Stevens is on our plane.
Someday it's going to come, but now on the edge of darkness, there lies a deep pain.
Well, okay, so maybe we just have to get stuff with Cat Stevens. Maybe this was necessary. I just hope the same kinds of sanctions are extended to the Dave Clark Five when they try to get in here.
All right. I put a see them with Brenda Lee in a headlock.
Yeah.
When the summer's so forgiving, although we have stolen all of the things that we thought we had on them, have disappeared. All these things and flavors. When the summer's light is breaking, the sense of the turning, you relent, you repent, now you're burning, nothing's changed.
The last good day of the year, because it is either the first day of fall or the last day of summer. I don't know what it is.
First day of, it is the first day of fall.
Which
is fall. This would be the autumnal equinox.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so we thought we'd play the last good day of the year, even though it's clearly not. But joining us now is political consultant Patty McQueen to give us the breakdown.
Yeah, I think his name Cruz was sticking up for me.
Good to be a guy.
I don't remember really sticking up for him. I was just trying to lay the facts out, you know.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, it's all right. You know,
provide a, you know, balanced point of view.
Or just be part of a cover-up, you know, one way or another.
That's true. How's the limo thing coming? Did we get that yet?
We don't know about this yet, but we are going to be broadcasting from Rentschler Field as part of the 19-hour continuous UConn football coverage. That'll be on Thursday, September 30th.
They certainly do have extensive coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. Our feeling is we want to go out to Rentschler. It's a great facility. We love the facility, and we love the UConn Huskies, but we want to go out in the limo.
I've been involved with pregame and postgame coverage for the Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals, and Indianapolis Colts.
I bet you always got a limo for that.
And none of them came anywhere near close to the amount of coverage that UConn gets.
You know, our pregame coverage starts about a day and a half before the actual game, and just runs continuously. But anyway, so we're going to be out there on Thursday. And
that's next, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow, the 30th.
So they're playing Pittsburgh that night.
I believe so,
Pittsburgh Pirates, actually. It'll be
cool. Yeah. So it's going to be a great game and a lot of fun. And but we want a limo. We want to go out on a limo. And they just didn't tell any today.
Maybe you can have Jeff Hathaway on, too, as a guest.
Well, you know, I know Jeff Hathaway. He's a very nice guy.
Yep.
He's a terrific person. I knew him in his first stint with UConn. And then he left and then he came back. After big old Lou went trundling out to Kansas to break their budget.
I think this is going very well so far.
Yeah, but I mean, and I think we're really looking forward to being out at Rentschler and stuff like that, but I mean, you know.
But we want a limo.
Yeah. And Jeff Hathaway is not exactly, you know, Sinbad or something, you know, I mean. I mean, he's a nice guy and everything like that.
I think we need Phil Austin.
Yeah, if Phil Austin wants to come on the show, that we would do that.
I think that'd be great.
So he's too tired to play golf, but he's got plenty of energy to go around promoting his new video game. That's Tiger. It's time for Sports at Wad, our French sports discussion segment. Avec le temps de Dieu.
Oui.
Monsieur Bourdieu, myself.
Oui, Gaston de la Mer.
It's that 84 lumber tournament. They're paying off in plywood.
I couldn't hear what he had to say, but I was flipping the channels looking for something interesting.
You didn't tape it?
Bruce, let me tell you this. I taped this show before. I taped Sound Off Connecticut before I taped the Conan O'Brien show.
Okay. Well, I thought perhaps the tape might have been available to you.
I do tape Sound Off
Connecticut. You what?
I do tape
Sound Off. Oh, stop it. Your nose has grown as long as your hair, for God's sake.
Somebody can learn a lot from that show.
Jeez. You know, I think we're all a little bit... I think for reasons the listeners don't have to know about, we're all a little bit crazy here, but let's not get out of hand.
Well, actually, I've been coming in the mornings lately, and
why? What do you think, you're doing 10 to noon again?
The producer...
That flashback?
The producer of Sound Off Connecticut, he likes, like you see, he likes me to sit in the office, because it's like I'm from the International Red Cross or something. He knows he won't be mistreated if I'm around, you know, like a UN observer. I'm like Hans Blick or something, and he's like... Don't leave.
Oh, that's tremendous. So what do we make of this FCC whacking CBS for $550,000 for JJ's bare breasts?
I think we look weak right now. Yeah, any sports franchise, when you look weak, they pile on.
Now, why? I have a question for you, because you're the legal of this group. Mm. Why are the poor CBS O&Os getting slammed
Good
for
question.
27-5.
Good question.
It's not the O&O's fault.
They didn't do anything.
What did they do? They broadcast CBS Network Signal.
Yeah.
Good point. Very good point.
Well, I mean, really.
Since it's coming out of the same place, I'm not really sure it makes that much difference. There
that's a bad precedent, though. Yeah. I mean, if I owned...
No, never mind. I can't say it. It's not going to make any sense. What I was going to say was going to be more stupid than normal.
So I'll forget that. But still, you know, they don't find the affiliates like, you know, our local affiliate, WFSB, mm-hmm. which is not owned by the CBS radio network, but our TV network. But they're finding, like, Channel 2 and Channel...
their employees even worse.
Channel 10...
Yeah, that's a good point. Why
that's
wouldn't they
ridiculous.
Just... If you're going to find a CBS O&O, why not find all of them? And everybody that has that ran the CBS show.
And I know it's one big happy family. MTV, which is a Viacom subsidiary, as it says here in the Wire story. But it, MTV should be, I mean, the name MTV should be the one to take the major hit here.
Yeah. I have to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to this. I would be willing to bet there is some FCC legal nicety that allows them to take it out. I mean, what's clear is that the FCC really wanted to take it out of CBS's hide at the maximum level possible.
So that's what they did, because they gave the maximum. No, I didn't realize this. The maximum indecency penalty is 27.5.
Yeah,
that's the most. So if we went over the edge, the most they could get fined would be 27.5.
Did this come down in a memo, by the way?
Well, I don't know.
CBS today.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Well,
See, that's what I think. If you have a problem, is overall we look weak. You know, we get the Dan Rather CBS memo, you know, thing going on. Now we got this.
What's next?
Exactly. But we look vulnerable. We're the chicken with the spot of blood. Well, the other chickens are pecking us.
As a promo, as a promotional advisement for the listeners, though, we have the rock of CBS, Jim Nantz, on Sports Talk. The most credible CBS face, along with Bob Schieffer, who we had on the show. And, of course, Morley Schaefer, who was at Your Big Play.
I think it's a show of strength.
We should sing Kumbaya?
No, I think we should go, like, beat the crap out of some Clear Channel freaks or something. We just need to establish ourselves.
No, I don't think it's good. I think we should march on the FCC building as a unit, as a strong, united unit.
There's a good idea.
What would a sports team do in a situation like this? We're on a little bit of a losing streak. People are starting to see you as vulnerable.
I'd say fire the manager. But that doesn't apply here.
Of course not.
But the big chance, you gotta, now, here, let's take the Mets as an example, because this is clearly Mets-esque, all right?
Okay.
Fred Wilpon's the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Wilpon is the son of the owner, who's basically running the show, and he's running the show. So it's kind of like Rather and you and, I don't know, you know, Kerry Connolly at Channel 4 in Boston. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are like the players.
Right.
So we got to find who's the Art Howe of the operation and let them go.
That would seem to be Salhany, but I'm not clear. All right. Here's the Ask Mr. Ambrosio question.
Amazing how fast that came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why do sand particles on
sand
a beach
come out a lot in this room today, I should say.
Why do sand particles on a beach or dunes seem to reach a certain grain size and then reduce no further? After millions of years, shouldn't most sand have become dust?
No, it's ridiculous. Why would you think sand would become dust? That's one of the more asinine things that you've asked in this question. Sand never becomes dust. Sand is everlasting. Sand is almighty. Sand grows and grows and then spawns more sand.
Does the sand get bigger then?
Oh, yeah. Sand can get as big as 21 grams, which is the biggest size of sand known to man. That's in the Mojave Desert, Brooks, in case you're looking at me like I'm an idiot. Beach sand along Connecticut used to be the second biggest gram size, but then the revitalization corps started walking up and down all the public beaches or the private beaches, and those sands reduced, kind of like at the dunes at the Cape. You know, at the Cape, they're always worried. You say you can't go walk in there because they've got erosion and stuff. That sand is even bigger because there's nobody walking there. But no, sand is almighty. Sand lasts forever. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as sand reducing. Seriously, that's one of the more flawed theories in our world today.
Person from Australia asked this question.
Figures, they have no idea.
Indicted, but I don't take that to be her meaning. It seems that she's, in some sense, freshly disgusted and angry about stuff. I mean, there's really not much in that indictment that isn't, that she couldn't have found out about for the last, you know, year and a half by reading the newspapers. So, you know, I wasn't particularly disgusted and angry by anything I saw in that indictment yesterday, because I already knew it all, and so did she. So I actually question whether she really was, in any particular fresh and new visceral sense, disgusted and angry. I think it's just something she said, because she's really good at that. What she does in these situations is she registers an appropriate emotion. Except that when you really think about what she's saying, it's not an appropriate emotion. And let me just follow that up by saying that when she says, "I did not know. If I had known, I would have put a stop to it then and there."
Right.
Well, how's she freaking going to do that? Set herself on fire outside the door? I mean, by her own account, they wouldn't let her in the room when they were, you know, changing the posted speed limit on Route 17. You know, I mean, that's how much input she had in the old Roland administration. And Mark Ryan backs that up in the mirror and he said, you know what? They never let her do anything and they never told her anything. And she can legitimately say she didn't know anything. because they never let her know anything. I mean, Mark Ryan kind of says that in a, you know, in a way that's actually helpful to her.
Well, that'll be good. She can work that into some of her campaign commercials when she runs again.
But, I mean, if that's the case, if you're this completely marginalized, ribbon-cutting, you know... I mean, yeah, really, if she's this completely negligible
ribbon
person...
Cutting.
Well, that's I think that's what, you know, I think she was...
That's kind of low, isn't it?
Negligible presence in the Roland administration, which, by the way, is the best kind of presence to be in the Roland administration, because the alternative is criminal presence in the Roland administration, and there really aren't a whole lot of other, you know, I mean, I guess there are a few people who dodged both of those bullets, but anyway, her choices really were negligible presence in the Roland administration and criminal presence in the Roland administration. She got negligible, and that's starting to look pretty good. But the idea that she would put a stop to it, what is she? Is she going to put on her Wonder Woman tiara and kick down the freaking door? I mean, you know, she didn't... But, you know, anyway, we're getting ahead of the show in some ways because it's near the end.
Don't sit around and mope, because we're just observing. Please stay behind the rope. All the former White House residents, including the present president, are having a birthday party on this day. There's George, John, Thomas, James, James, John, Andrew, Martin. Tell William, John, and James that the party's almost starting. Zachary, Miller, Franklin, James, and Abraham. Andrew, Ulysses, Rutherford, James, Chester, Grover, and Benjamin. For some unknown reason, Grover got elected twice. So William Theodore Williams and Woodrow are so nice. Warren, Calvin, Herbert, Franklin, Harry, Dwight, and John. Lyndon, Richard, Gerald, Jimmy, Ronald, George, and William. They're shaking hands and kissing babies, eating jelly beans. They dance and they sing and they send in the Marines. Eating cake and watching cable, passing gifts under the table. And the president's birthday is observed. There's George, John, Thomas, James, James, John, Andrew, and Martin. Tell William, John, and James that the party's almost starting. Zachary, Miller, Franklin, James, and Abraham. Andrew, Ulysses, Rutherford, James, Chester, Grover, and Benjamin. For some unknown reason, Grover got elected twice. So William Theodore William and Woodrow are so nice. Warren, Calvin, Herbert, Franklin, Harry, Dwight, and John. Lyndon, Richard, Gerald, Jimmy, Ronald, George, and William. All the former White House residents, including the present president,
all
are
right.
Having a birthday party.
Enough of the mirth.
And Haywood Banks, the genius. All right. We have some science news here, but perhaps we should talk to Simone.
Yeah, let's talk to Simone first, and then science news.
We're actually owned by CBS Infinity. The same people who brought you 16 Minutes. We're owned by those Dan Rather people. But anyway, call Sal Haney by all means. You know what? Because he loves, you know, cranks who are housebound to call up and just, you know. Are you like in a full body cast or something?
No, I
can't imagine why you would be listening to this radio station all day.
No,
won't the attendants change it to something?
No, I don't listen all day, but as I do other tasks, I take it around with me and I do listen until I get too ticked off and then I have to switch. At 12 o'clock, what I like to listen to is WWH. They do a good analysis. Every day. Do you ever listen at that hour?
Yeah, I mean, some of those analysis, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Some of them are good, and some of them are just kind of disorganized and whacked out.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Well,
station.
Yeah, it's a big surprise you'd like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
so
we have to go.
I'm awaiting surgery.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
I've known Simone for years. I mean, this is like some, I mean, I know her as a person, and in person I know her.
How else would you know her,
I mean, like, there's some people who call up the show all the time, and you get to know them that way.
Right.
But I know Simone. I mean, she's been a teacher, and I've actually been into teacher classes and stuff like that. And she's a wacko, but a very nice person. Very quickly, we don't have time to really explore this in the depth, you should pardon the expression, that it deserves. But the giant squid turns out to be being killed by noises made by Norwegians. There's unusually high numbers of dead giant squid washed up on Spanish shores. And they now believe that loud, low-frequency sounds made by oil companies charting the seabed are killing the creatures. And they think it's the Norwegians. And Norway has rejected demands by environmentalists to limit seismic surveys off the Lofoten Islands in 2003. And so giant squids, their little heads are bursting.
Norwegian
bastards.
Noise made by Norwegians, I thought, you know, talking or something.
No. It's going to,
so that's kind of unusual.
Seismic surveys, basically. Yeah. It's a low-frequency noise. And basically, it's they think that the squid have massive internal damage. The blast caused, well, it dissolves gases in their tissues, and it forms bubbles.
Yeah.
And but they all have...
Would be no help at all?
They all have damaged ears, these dead squids and stuff like that.
Not good.
So my theory is that the giant squid stole Munch's painting, The Scream, and they're not going to give it back until Norway stops making those noises. Heard it, you know, in an indecent manner, but they ultimately were contracts for things that most of them were actually built. Is there money that was just sort of, you know, state money that was handed over and we didn't get what we paid for?
Certainly one outcome that's clear from the federal indictment and hopefully will also be clear from the allegations we will make in our state lawsuits is that competition was stifled and stunted. The bidding process was skewed, and favoritism resulted in the state of Connecticut very likely receiving less than it would have received dollar for dollar.
Is that something you could easily demonstrate in court, though? In other words, we could all sort of say, well, there's no competition if the bids are rigged, but how do you demonstrate in court what sort of material disadvantage to the state of Connecticut occurred in that process?
We'll be bound to make that case in court. I'm not going to go into the evidence right now, nor should we. We're certainly under no obligation to, and it certainly is not to our advantage to do so before we need to do in court.
Did you like my use of the term material disadvantage?
You could be on our trial team.
I was going to say, if you'd like me to argue one little part of the case, I'm kind of busy, you know, but I could probably do a little bit of the work for you.
Well, I think we'll need all the help we can get, of course, and...
Believe me, if I'd gone to law school and had a law degree, you'd be carrying my luggage these days. I mean, I'm that good, all right?
I'm always happy to carry your bag.
Don't patronize me. Don't humor me. I've told you that in the past. All right, well, thanks very much for joining us.
Let me just make a point, though.
Absolutely.
You know, because people may wonder, why is the state bringing its own action?
Mm-hmm.
Restitution to state taxpayers is very important. Also, there is a high likelihood that we will be bringing action against individuals who are not named now in the federal indictment. In other words, criminal charges may not be brought against all the individuals who ought to be held accountable, and we mean to hold everyone accountable who has breached the public trust. And so I think there will be some additional individuals who will be held accountable by the state, and we intend to prosecute civilly our case against them.
Well, you know, go get them. What else can we say?
Okay.
All right. Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, thank
Thanks
you for being
lot.
With us. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, the New York Yankees are saying they're not afraid of Pedro Martinez. He doesn't have such a great... Ow! And he's not such a great pitcher. Ow! And perhaps maybe it's time for him to retire. Ow! Maybe not the greatest thing to say right before you're going to face Pedro when he likes to throw at people so much. It's time for Sports at Trois, the very French sports discussion segment. Avec Monsieur Ronald Dean, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer. So there you are.
Yeah.
You're up there.
You like the musical background?
I can't really exactly tell what the musical background is.
Well, I'm never sure what the musical background is.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, we were down until just about 10 minutes ago around the batting cage. It doesn't seem very loud down there.
Mm-hmm.
But up in the Monsters, we are right under one of the speaker systems.
It sounds like an early Chuck Dubé recording to me, actually. But
recorded in Oslo or something, yeah.
So what's the mood there?